Been in a series of closing this thing up. It's called Rising to the Challenge, and on the back of your notes, there's two scriptures there, and I want to read these two scriptures and then make some comments. Matthew 13, 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Treasure hidden and a pearl of great value. Jesus is saying, the kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like this treasure hidden, and somebody finds that and goes and sells all they have, and they buy the field so they can have the treasure. It's like a merchant looking for pearls, and he comes and he finds this pearl of great value, and he sells out everything, goes and gets all that he can to come and purchase it and make it his. It's that special something that motivates the kingdom of God. That special something. I want to preach today on that special something. From Jesus' point of view, you are the treasure. And you're the pearl of great value. Go ahead and tell somebody next to you, you're the hidden treasure. Go ahead and respond back. You're the great pearl, the pearl of great price. You're that special something. You're that special something. You know, in the book of Genesis, we see that God says to Adam, you can have all to eat of all the trees in the garden, but this one, don't eat of this one. And on the day that you eat of this one, you'll surely die. And because there was a special something between the two of them, there was no need to go on and have further explanation. Because when you have the special something, you have loving trust. You have trusting love. You have a bond. You have a communication. You have an intimacy. You have a trust that you can have with another person, and you believe them when they talk to you, and they believe you when you talk. And that word and that life that you share is that special something. And the devil, I think he had it at one point. He was the cherub that covers. He was in heaven, and the worship, he was a worship leader in heaven. And there was this bond between him and Almighty God. And he was cast out because he wanted to begin to get the praises unto himself. He was lifted up. He had a free will and he decided, I'm tired of this. And he began to rise up and he lost that special something. And now he's condemned for eternity. And he'll never have that special something back ever again. And he's spoiled and he's rotten. And he's evil to the core. And Jesus said he's been a liar from the beginning. And he showed up in the garden as the serpent. And he says, the first lie. Has God said, you know, you can't really eat from all this. You know what he's really after? He's after the special something. He's after the bond. He's after the relationship. He's trying to sow confusion into the relationship. And it worked. It worked. And we lost the loving trust. We lost that sense of bond. We lost it. We lost that saying where God can say something and you just know that it's the right way because he said so. And it's gone. That special something has been taken away. And people don't know now. They don't trust him anymore because they believed a lie. We've all believed the lie. And Jesus comes and he says, I want you, for the joy set before him. Jesus, go ahead and tell the person next to you, I'm the joy set before him. I'm the hidden treasure. I'm the pearl. I'm the joy. And for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and redeemed us and is established on the right hand of God and been raised up. And that's the power of the gospel. The gospel is the reality that Jesus has found you to his liking. And in all of your brokenness and all of the things, all the wrong decisions, all the wrong roads you've been down, all the bad decisions you made, all the encumbered, everybody that's made bad decisions before you that are in your bloodline, that are stacked up against you, all of that stuff, Jesus still sees the special something. And he reaches to you and to me and he says, I did it all for you. I did it all for you. I want the special son. I want the loving trust. I want the bond back. I want that intimacy. I want us to know one another and to cherish one another and to care about one another forever and ever. But the special something has been gone for a long time. And people go all kinds of things, trying to fill up for that special something. They make so many bad decisions, trying to get what that special something can do. But nothing else can answer to that. Because that special something is the Lord Himself. And on the other side of this, the treasure is Him. He's the treasure. Our first fill in the blank. Our first fill in the blank. Is do you treasure Jesus Christ? Do you treasure Jesus Christ? Is he worth everything to you? 1 Peter 1, on the back of your notes, 3-9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Somebody just say, now that's a treasure right there. That's the treasure. The treasure is this: we're born again, we're made anew, we're made alive to this living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And our inheritance is with Him. It's imperishable. You can't damage it. It's undefiled. It's pure. It's unfading. It'll never go away. It's kept in heaven. By God's power is guarding it. Through faith, our salvation is to be revealed. I want to mention about this special something. King David. David had it. David had it. David treasured the Lord. You got to have a special something when you say, as a deer pants for the water brook, so my soul thirsts for the living God. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Something's going on. Something very special is going on in the soul of a person who talks like that. And it says in Acts 13:36, for David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep. What would cause somebody to rise up and go through all that they had to go through like David went through to serve the purpose of God in his generation through all the trials, all the sufferings, all the things he went through? What would do that unless he had a special something? Without the special something, I'm just going to go ahead and guarantee you, without that special something that you find in the Lord, you won't walk through anything either. You won't go the distance. But something happened to you somewhere, at some point, somehow. There was something registered in you that you knew that you were something special somehow, and there was a special something between the two of you, and there was a loving trust that beginning to be formed between you and God. You know that. And David ended up saying this. He said, you've made known to me the path of life, and in your presence there's fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. There's nothing like it. There's no one like Jesus at all, ever. And he knew him before Jesus was on the earth. In fact, David is such a picture of the Lord for us because he's go through battle and battle. He's the king. Jesus was called the the Son of David, and Jesus is now our eternal King who's gone through the battles for us to bring us into His kingdom. How many of you had the Lord do battle for you and free you from sins? Do battle for you and free you from hellish works? Do battle for you and cause you to come out of place? This is the gospel. Jesus Christ has come because you're that special to Him. He frees you from stuff when you get that bond back and you have that loving trust and that trusting love and you begin to respond to Him and there's that something special in your heart that says, I will rise. It doesn't matter. I will get rid of everything in my life for Him and Him alone. He is more valuable to me, more precious to me than my very life. I will live for Him no matter what I go through. He is so important to me. He's my special something. He's the motive that I get up in the morning. He's why I go through the fire of this world and serve Him, because I know Him. And He never disappoints. And His Holy Spirit shows up. And I have a history and a track record of things He's done in and through and for and around me. I got the special something in my life. Without it, this world really isn't worth it, see? What you going to build on? This would be over pretty quick. And God has chosen you because you are His special something, wooing your heart to Him that you would consider Him your special something. Moses had that special something. After all messing it up, you know, and going out in the desert and experiencing the burning bush and getting the call of God. And then there came a point in Moses' life where the bond was so powerful, the loving trust was so powerful that he said, if your presence doesn't go with me, I'm not going on from here. You see, I value this special something that we have so much that if you're not going, I'm not going. I want to see your glory. I want to know you. I want to know more of who you are. I want to have more of the special something. And the Lord said, come on, Mo. I'm going to hide you in the cleft of this rock. Put my hand over it and then walk by and lift my hand. And I'll let you see. And Moses' wish was fulfilled. And he encountered the glory of the Lord. How many of you want more? There's something about the marking of your heart when you experience more of the glory of the Lord. Somebody's got a hunger. Somebody's got a wanting more. Are you that person? Are you that person that says, this world doesn't have anything compared to the special something I know in Jesus Christ? Is that you or other things in your way? I want to ask you to be relieved of that today and sell out everything for the special something that you have with God. Make room, seek after Him, be His and know Him. And don't let things build up in your life, except you can just see them rinsed away. Are you with me? You need that special something with Him more now than ever? Guaranteeing it. Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp. Far off from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting, and everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went to the tent, all the people would rise, and it's like several million people, and they all stand at their tent door and watch Moses until he'd gone into the tent. And when Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise and worship each at his tent door. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And when Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Are you the Moses creating hunger in another? Who was it? Were you the Joshua that saw the hunger in somebody else and they had that special something and you said, I got to have that? Moses is an incredible picture of Jesus even. When you preach the gospel, you see that every person and every book and every concept points to Jesus. Moses had been on the top of the mountain and you saw the movie, the fire came and wrote the Ten Commandments on the stone, right? But now Jesus has fulfilled the law. He lived perfectly, fulfilled the commands. And now he's ascended to heaven, and invisible Jesus, the Holy Spirit, has come. And now he comes down, and as Moses, the experience with Moses, he comes and he writes the eternal Word of God on your heart. And that special something begins to register. Do you realize the great purpose each of you have? If David could fulfill his purposes, his generation, you know that Jesus rose up and fulfilled his purpose in his generation. How many of you know that God has a purpose for each of you in your generation? And the influence that he has desired to call you into has everything to do with that special something that motivates you and causes you to be what he wants you to be. And without it, you go around hunting for things that never satisfy. You burn out. You burn out even working for him. You just burn out. But the special something keeps it all alive. The special something causes you and I to rise up and seek after him when we're stressed, when we're tired, when we're anxious, when everything goes, we go and lay hold of him because he's got it. He has it. He has what we need. I just feel such a beautiful work of the Holy Spirit here with us today. Because the Lord wants to raise your sights. He wants you to see that he has chosen you and has a high goal for you. And maybe you haven't been living that because you haven't seen how valuable you are to him. I want to elbow someone and tell them, I'm more valuable than I've realized. Go ahead. Moses was hid in the cleft of the rock. I just want to finish this thought. He was hid in the cleft of the rock. Saw the glory of the Lord. And God says, that's enough for now because we have that bond. But there's going to come a day, Moses. Moses was with the Lord. And Jesus came upon the earth and went to the Mount Transfiguration. And Jesus there is the man and God begin to become as bright as the sun in the glory of the Lord. And Peter and James and John looked up and there was Moses there. And Elijah there. Now that's a special something. And the glory fell. And when it lifted, it was just Jesus. The glory cloud, I guess it was the bus. They had to get on the bus and go back to heaven. Moses got to see him. Hallelujah. But there was Joshua standing outside the tent. How many of you have had someone walk with the Lord and you saw what their walk with the Lord was about and there was something in there that you said, I got to have. Something I got to get to that. I have to have something that they got. That special something they have with the Lord. Something is going off on the inside of me that I got to get. I got to get that. Let's praise the Lord for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is an impartational message because the Lord wants you to write. You may have lost the luster of that special something. The Lord says, I'm imparting it today. I'm causing you to know that you can rise up and walk with me like you never have before. Hallelujah. One other person, then we'll finish this message here because the other points aren't as long. But thank God, all those pages up there. How many of you know, God had spoken, I'm not going into the long part of this story, but God had spoken to Elijah, because he was disappointed through the whole thing with Jezebel. He says, I want you to take this anointing and go give it out. So he leads him up to this guy in a field, and he takes off his cloak and throws it over on top of. And so Elijah is walking along, and here's Elisha. Elisha is in the field plowing. He's plowing, and Elijah walks up, and he takes his cloak and he throws it over. He throws it on him. The call. Elisha knows who that man is, because he's got that special something with the miracle power. He's the prophet of the Most High God, and he wants that. He wants something more. And just like an arbitrary day, just out of random moment, suddenly this cloak is thrown on top of him, and that mantle is suddenly on him, and then he walks off. He says, what have I to do with you? He walks off. He says, I want to kiss my mom and dad goodbye. And Elisha found his pearl of great price. He found his hidden treasure. He went and he killed all of his oxen and had a big barbecue, and he burned his, he took his plow, all the wood, and he built a fire, and he celebrated his past income by having a big barbecue, and it's all gone now. He sold out, and he followed Elijah. He went after Elijah. And later on, is that not Elisha, the one who washed the hands of Elijah? He was his servant. He took care of the things regarding Elijah. The hunger came up in his heart for that something special, because a man of God came by and said, you, and then walked off and ignored him. Today everybody goes, but he walked away. Well, how important is it to you? How important is the special something? Because later, after they'd been together, it was that time. And he says, I want double. I want more than you had. I want more. I know your special something. I want twice as much. I want twice as much. I want twice as much as what you had. He says, you've asked a hard thing. You've got to keep up with me. If you see me when I'm called out and called up into heaven, then you got it. And he just stuck to him like glue. And then Elisha went, and the mantle came. It was imparted to Elisha. And he took it. And he says, where's the God of Elijah? And he struck the Jordan River, and it opened up, and he walked through. And all the sons of the school of the prophets going, the spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha. He got the special something. And the miracle dimension of Jesus has been imparted. And he took on that same spirit when he came on the earth. And part of your healing today is because that same spirit is manifest in you through Jesus Christ touching your life. Now I want us to jump to number 2. Just go ahead and put number 2. I'm going to just, what does the testing of your faith reveal? I'm going to read this verse. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 6. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Everybody say, grieved by various trials. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I put a few little thoughts down here, but just go ahead and tell somebody, you get creamed before you get crowned. Go ahead and let them know that. You get a lot of disappointment before you get a new appointment. Go ahead, tell them that. You get a lot of disappointment. You got to go through. Let me tell you what really, really, really happens here. Ready? When the trial comes, you find out who is real and who is false. Who says they love the Lord and who actually does love the Lord. You find out. That's when you find out who has the special something. The people who are walking with the Lord will go through the fires. And they'll be refined. And they'll increase in a love and affection and a special depth of something in God that others don't. Because there's not a genuineness that's revealed in those who say it but don't go through. Where are you today? Have you been mamby-pambying around? Are you walking through the trial? Or are you running somewhere else? What is it revealing in your life? Because they're here. Trials are among us. Are you letting the Lord refine you? Are you seeking Him? Or are you just going, it's too hard. It's too hard. It's too hard. All everybody believes all this cultural stuff that's not really all about Jesus. I'm kind of nervous about it all. I'm afraid. It's not politically correct. No, the world isn't going to follow Jesus. And it never will. And there's a great falling away. And people who have a form of godliness who don't love the Lord and don't have the special something. Are you going to be affected by that? Or are you going to be His special something? Hello? These are the days, man, when the trials come. You don't have the special something with God. You get all confused and think God's holding out of you and start blaming Him. Stupid. How can you blame the one who laid His life down for you? How can you blame the life that treasures you and you're the apple of His eye? How's that happen? Listening to the devil and your own confused flesh and complaining about the trial, then counting it joy. And letting Him work something in you of His maturity and His perfect work. And you being complete and lacking nothing when you come out the other side. Just tell the Lord right now, you're my special something. Let's go to number 3 real quick. We'll be done. Right on the button here. Is Jesus the love and joy of your life? Is Jesus the love and joy of your life? Though, I love Peter's words here. Just flip it over and look at this last little section on there. Just soak up these words. I love these words. Oh, these words are so precious. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. You can underline it. You can memorize that. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory according to the outcome of your faith and the salvation of your souls. Let me just go ahead and tell you what a trial does. It takes this glorious gospel that we've been given and it winnows away everything in you that's false and purifies your heart and causes you to even crystallize more of your understanding His commitment to you and your commitment to Him and that bond that you have. And then do you realize there's nothing like this? This love that we have. I have joy that people don't have, behind the scenes joy that people don't express and know because of who He is in my life. Let's read the last verse and we'll close here. On the bottom of your paper, on the front there. John 14:21-23. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. I would just take the rest of this day and meditate on that. I did run over just a bit, but I have something to say. I don't know of a better illustration, really. How many of you remember the demoniac? The guy had 6,000 demons. Now, isn't that a lot of bad choices right there? And Jesus shows up, and he has this authority. And no matter how messed up a soul can get, Jesus still sees the special something inside. Still sees the value of the individual. This guy is cutting himself. He's imprisoned. He's in shackles. He's breaking the shackles. He's in torment. I wonder on that day, did Jesus know? I mean, he probably already knew this, but I'm wondering if he even thought about it. He probably did, that Jesus was going to be tormented. He was going to be whipped. He's going to be cut. He's going to be in prison. He's going to be going through agony. Jesus can relate to the guy because he's going to the cross for him. He's going to be his substitute. He's going to substitute his life for his life. He's going to take all these sins upon himself that made hell, gave hell such rights in his life. And Jesus is going to take all that on the cross and break the power of the rule of that in his life and destroy the hold of the enemy for everyone of all time, because that's the gospel of Jesus. He said it doesn't matter how bad it is. God redeems you to the uttermost because you're that special. You're that special to him. Hallelujah. Oh, let's just praise the Lord for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, wow. I truly believe that the Lord put this phrase in my heart to impart, that it would go in you. There's a seed of his love that he wants to put in you to secure you, to cause you to have a deeper sense of his longing for you and to awaken in you your longing for him, and that there would be that satisfaction, there would be that deep place of personal fulfillment and commitment and satisfaction in Christ Jesus, that he has a desire to be yours and you to be his. And so, Lord, we speak that, we seal that, we ask, Lord, for that work of your love to be so profound in each soul. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Just as you hovered over Mary and the seed went in and she became pregnant, so come and overshadow your people and let the love of God penetrate to deep places. In the name of Jesus. Those on the platform coming to pray, come on up. Honey, come on up.
There's some of you today, nobody's looking around. Everybody's eyes closed for the sake of privacy for everyone, please. Some of you just need to do a physical act that says, I'm reaching to the someone I love, fresh and new. Some of you maybe just need to do it for the first time. Okay? Some of you have just walked with the Lord, kind of like Pastor said, mamby-pamby. These are the days where you need to make the shift. So I'm going to ask you to do a physical act with your hands. I want you to reach up as though you're hugging the someone you love. There you go. There's the anointing. Both hands, not just and the higher you go, the higher he lifts. Okay, now that's going to be uncomfortable for some of you. Okay? And for some of you, you know you desperately need it. There you go. Here it comes. There it is.
Hallelujah.
He's reaching back.
Praise you, Lord.
He's reaching back.
Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Arms of surrender. I'm surrendering, Lord. I'm surrendering. I'm surrendering everything to you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
In an act of faith before you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
You're my someone. Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Now fulfill that impartation in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let's love one another, church. Praise the Lord.